Welcome back. We're joined now by our friend Fadeh Esmael, probably the leading or one of the leading experts in the country on Homeland Security. He's the Homeland Security Director for Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, perhaps the only congressman that has a separate staff member devoted to Homeland Security. So we're delighted, Fadeh, to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Among your many responsibilities, I know, are running a variety of courses available to people and institutions in Southern California. Tell us about some of those courses.
We bring federal resources of information and training that have been bought and paid for by the taxpayer. And what we do is we offer those training resources and information resources to the people in our region. And when I say people, I mean first responders from all disciplines, law enforcement, fire, hazmat, emergency medical services, public health, public works, government, academia. In other words, anybody who is a stakeholder within government and within the private sector.
Let me read to you a couple of the courses. Managing Civil Actions and Threat Incidents, WMD Awareness Level, Hospital Emergency Management, Threat and Risk Assessment, Incident Management, Unified Control. I mean, these are cutting-edge stuff of what first responders need to know.
Yeah, this is the very recent, the hot out of the oven, based upon the requirements that come from the federal government on what our systems have to know and be ready for, both in government service as well as in the private sector. And we actually offer them here free of charge. And
over 5,000 folks have gone through your courses.
More or less, but who's counting?
Yeah. Well, I think it's becoming clear to everyone that the response to whether it's a terrorist incident or a natural disaster is importantly in the hands of private organizations and local government. They're the ones that are on the scene, that are there. And if a community or a city can be properly trained, it can have an enormous impact on reducing the fatalities and the injuries.
Absolutely. The local authorities are closest to the incident. They are the ones who have the jurisdiction, the sovereignty, the authority. They know the jurisdiction better than anyone else. Therefore, it makes only good sense that they will be the ones who lead the effort to mitigate against any emergency, prepare for it, respond to it, and recover.
Let me give you a little bit of the background of our extraordinary guest. Fadeh grew up in Jerusalem. He was active in areas of conflict resolution. He served 5 years in the Israeli Medical Corps, received a decoration, citation. And in Israel, it's a very unforgiving community in the sense of you can't risk being wrong or being unprepared.
It is true. And that is absolutely correct. And that brings, that creates a certain mindset that tends to be a little alien to people who grew up in the most peaceful, most secure democracy in the world.
Give our viewers a sense of that mindset.
You know, my first encounter with terrorism was when I was in second grade, when there was an attack downtown Jerusalem, and the brother of one of my fellow students was killed. We were about, 7 years old, and I think that was our first encounter with that concept. In every school, actually in every classroom, you have a placard with pictures on how a device might look like. So you actually, by the age of 6, 7, 8, you know more on how those devices look like than probably some law enforcement officers.
So every citizen has eyes and ears.
They have to be. It's a life and death situation.
And that doesn't mean you walk around scared. It
No.
means you're just alert.
Yeah. As simple as that.
And that's something we in America are going to have to incorporate more fully.
Yeah, I think that I think people are pretty aware. I mean, I interact with the public all the time on that one. And my sense is that there is awareness. There is, actually, we're pretty good on that, but it's new.
And for example, I visited Israel many, many years ago, but I understand that if you go into a shopping center, there's a metal detector. And in places, I mean, we have that at airports here, but not in shopping centers and other facilities, but there it's second nature. That's what it is. And people get on a bus, they see an unattended package on a bus. It probably has a different reaction in Israel than it does in Long Beach.
Yeah, as a child, I remember by fourth grade or fifth grade, I think we have twice called in bomb squad because us, the kids, were walking back home from school, and we found unattended objects.
Yes.
And we called the bomb squad. That was as simple as that.
But the good news is Israelis go around their daily business.
Yeah.
They have healthy and productive lives. They're not holed up in their homes, but they're alert.
Absolutely.
And that's the way to go on this thing.
That's the only way to go about it.
Well, tragically, our country faced not a terrorist attack recently, but a natural disaster with the hurricane and the flooding in New Orleans. And give us your quick take, and we'll spend the next segment going into detail, but give us your take on the response or the lack of response of federal, state, and local authorities to that.
Well, the federal system, as well as state and local, are designed to respond to all hazard. In the emergency management lingo, that is a term we use, all hazard preparedness. The federal response started on August 25th when the local and state authorities in the South were regularly alerted by the national government, by the federal government, about the advancement of the hurricane. And I mean, not only Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, sure. The other states. Federal resources were deployed already 4 or 5 days before the hurricane actually reached the coastline.
What kinds of resources?
For example, the U.S. Coast Guard was ready there in full force. FEMA has activated many national teams. For example, we have on site now 87 disaster medical assistance teams.
But you were talking about before the storm hit, you said that the federal government put into the works some response.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Some of it, absolutely, because the governors of the states already started working with the especially in Mississippi and Alabama, they already started working with the federal government.
But you know, there's a widespread perception that the federal government was slow to act, and the president specifically was slow to get on top of this situation. What's your reaction to that?
I think it's a perception that, okay, I deal with facts, not with perceptions. The fact is that it is simply untrue. FEMA was deployed in the region, but you have to understand, the federal government is not a first responder.
Right.
It cannot be a first responder.
Right.
It should not be a first responder. It's a responder. Our job is to support state and local, and that machine was well within the process before the hurricane hit. And I might add that, by the way, between Friday and Saturday, before the hurricane hit, the president himself was in direct contact with Governor Blanco of Louisiana.
Okay.
But we know we are limited by law on what we can
do. Okay, we'll be continuing this fascinating discussion, and we want to ask our guest specifically his view of the local response to this disaster. Stay with us. We'll be back with more of Straight Talk after these messages. Welcome back. Continuing this fascinating discussion with Fadi Ismail, the Homeland Security Director for Congressman Dana Rohrabacher. And we're talking about the New Orleans flood, hurricane, and disaster. And your take, Fadi, on the local response or lack thereof to the disaster.
There was a good local response. And let's not forget that about 300,000 people were evacuated efficiently. And they were absorbed not only within the states that were damaged, but also in neighboring states.
But we read about lawlessness in the dome. We read about half of the local police officers not appearing for work. I mean, you're telling us that the federal response was good, the local response was good, but we saw with our own eyes on TV lawlessness, camera crews getting in, but emergency workers not getting in. There's a disconnect between your description of it and what we saw on TV.
Well, I said there was a response. I did not say it was perfect.
Well, was it adequate?
I will never say anything is adequate. You see, as an emergency manager, I will never say things.
Well, give it a score from A to F.
We'll have to see the investigative commission to find out exactly what went on. You see, if you base what you're saying on what you saw in the media, then you will get only those, like you say, the things that bleed are the ones that lead.
I didn't say that, but I've repeated it.
Yeah, so let's put it this way. To put things in proportion, we will have to do a full-blown investigation.
Okay, so you're not prepared to render a judgment at this time?
Absolutely not.
But you're prepared to admit of the possibility that after that full investigation is completed, the conclusion will be that the response was inadequate?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Of course.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Absolutely.
Now, New Orleans, and I just learned this by reading some material a friend said, New Orleans is a major economic security asset. All the farm products of America exit through barges on the Mississippi and out onto boats from the port of New Orleans. Industrial stuff coming in that we need through the port of New Orleans. New Orleans is a national security asset. And yet last summer, Congress, the president reduced the appropriation for strengthening the levees from $140 million down to $40 million. Now, if it's a national security asset, why isn't money spent to secure that city and that port?
Well, a lot of the money that was transferred to city and state there for that purpose was actually diverted by local and state to other purposes. Once again, we will have to look into all this history there because you have to understand that at any given moment, a policymaker has to deal with a wide range of risks and hazards.
But it makes sense that if something is a national security asset, like I might add, the ports of Long Beach and LA, which also are being shorted by the federal government in the spending of dollars. Everybody knows it.
I disagree with that. I absolutely disagree with that.
Okay, because first, you are one of everybody and you disagree, so my statement is wrong.
Yeah.
You don't think we're being shorted?
Well, what I think is that we should spend our Homeland Security funds in a very different way. And here I'm just quoting basically Congressman Cox, who spoke to that effect. Can Congress improve the way we spend the Homeland Security funding? Absolutely, yes.
Well, would you admit that the appropriations for not only Homeland Security, but virtually everything else are tilted and slanted because of political influence? If you're the committee head, you get money in your district, even if there's not a real threat. That's the way it works.
Actually, we try to fix it.
Don't you agree with that?
You're asking me if I agree with the facts of life.
Yes.
Well,
do you agree that that's an accurate description of the facts of life?
Well, let's put it this way. Money spending is always subject to pressures and whatever interest group in the place. It could be teachers, it can be firefighters, it can be doctors, it can be lawyers. You're asking me, would pressure groups influence spending money? Absolutely.
And it warps a rational distribution of funds, where logically the fund should go to A because it's a national security asset. They wind up some of it going to B because that B has a stronger Congress.
We have thousands of targets in this country and assets in this country that all are national security assets. For example, we have very wide chemical industry right here next to Long Beach. And the fact is you don't see a giant disaster, a chemical industry disaster, every day. That does not come by accident. There's a very active spending in very many disaster mitigation
programs. It's like traffic lights. They put a red stoplight after someone is killed at a crossing.
Not always. For example, if I give you the example of the Santa Ana River flood control project that the congressman led, that was done many years ago. And there you go. That flies in the face of your...
Well, you know, the time goes so fast. We're going to have to continue this discussion. There's so much to talk about. We do want to invite... encourage our viewers to email us. Let me read one of our recent responses to the wonderful show we did last week on the 60th anniversary of World War II. Our friend Al Israel wrote about Clark Higginess. He said he was my mentor at Ball Hunt, still the brightest lawyer around. I owe everything to Clark. He probably shortened my lifespan a few years by demanding so much to me. Let me know. He's the only person the English wanted to deal with in buying the Queen Mary because of his great sense of humor, known as Higginstein. So thanks for your email, Al, and we encourage all of you to give us an email. You can email us at art@straighttalktv.com. Fatty, thank you so much for sharing your expertise. We definitely want to continue this. Thank you at home for joining us. Please be with us next week for the next edition of our show. Good night, everyone.
Straight Talk has been brought to you by Southern California Edison and the Press Telegram. And remember, Straight Talk is viewable worldwide 24/7 at StraightTalkTV.com.